You had to talk about all what we just talked about in one setting, it would take you a while. But what we're going to do is we look at it in its setting as it was. The theme of the beginning of the reading in Numbers was for us to what? See what Korah did, right? Now, was Korah already chosen by God? Boy, sure he was. He was a part of what tribe? The tribe of what? This is at the beginning, at the very beginning. What does it say? It says, now Korah, the son of Issachar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, and Dothan, and Abiram. It goes on, gives all of these. The son of Reuben took men. They rose up before Moses. So, was he already a person chosen by God? Yes, already chosen. But instead of staying in his lane and what God called him in to do, his eyes got on somebody else's lane. He said, well, I'll just promote myself. Who gives him all the rights to be an authority and do that? What gives him the right to do that? Well, that's a dangerous thing. Because you're not saying that against a person whose lane you want to be in. You're saying that against the Most High, Elohim, and Yahweh's not going to have that. He won't have somebody. And so the whole theme of this we see throughout it is we got to be careful, because we don't like the way the setting is, that somehow we can change it ourselves, never ever putting into consideration that Yahweh is the one set it up. So if he set it up, then who are we to go against that? It'd be like me saying, well, I'm kind of upset because of the people that was ministered to me when I grew up. That's not your choice. You better thank God that they were there and ministered to you when you grew up, because that was God's hand in that. Now, so you might not learn everything you want, you know now, but listen, there's always a time for everything. But we're not in a position to go question God about that stuff, because that's where you get yourself in trouble. Because you do it once, you're going to do it again. And then you're going to question, then people will start questioning everything in their life. Everything becomes a question. Well, we're not in a position to do that. Especially if we already covenant with God and made an agreement that I believe this is what the Lord has for me. I believe this is the place God wants me to be. And times will change. Times change. How many know there's some things change and you didn't have a choice in the matter? Our lives are your life can change in one night. You've been through that. We've been through that. Your life changed in one night. You didn't choose that. How many know you didn't choose the wind to start swirling around coming off the continent of Africa and wind up in your backyard? You didn't choose that. And no devil in hell can make that happen. You understand that? But who am I to question whether where it goes and who it affects? I'm not in a position to question that. I'm in a position to say, Lord, I don't understand it. And it hurts. And it bothers me, but what I need to do right now is I need to learn to trust in Him. Right there, that's where you learn. Because if you can't trust in Him right there, you're going to be in a mess. And what Korah did says, well, I'm not trusting in Yahweh. I'm not going to trust in Him. Because you know what, the way I see it, who gives Moses the right to do what he's doing? Well, guess who gives him that right? Yahweh does. So you can't take the position to think that you can override. So what does Moses do? What's the first thing a real leader does when they get questioned? Humbles himself. He got on his face. He bowed down. And says, listen, okay. I'm sorry you feel that way. But we'll see. We'll let Yahweh do the picking. Everybody get your censer. Go and get it all ready to go. And listen, get your censer means you already was one who was in a position to possess a censer. Now you got to do some studying on that, because to be in a position to possess a censer meant that you had been handpicked by Yahweh to fulfill that duty. How many of you know not everybody had a censer in all them tribes? There was very select few. So he didn't tell them, we're going to make you one. No, go get your censer and get the fire in your censer and put incense on your censer. Do what you've been doing. In other words, let's all get ready and let's go to church. Let's do what we do. And then we'll let Yahweh show what's right. And this is, he says, well, listen, if you're right, you'll be fine. But if you're wrong, the earth's going to open up and you're gone. And he lets everybody know in advance, if you want to go with him, he's just letting you know that's what's about to happen. Well, did Yahweh honor his words? Yes, he did. Sure enough, there it goes, opens up, there they go. You would think the people witnessing this is how difficult it can get in people's life. They can witness God's approval and disapproval and still walk contrary to the commands of God. That blows my mind. Because not all of them were sucked down into the earth. Some of them were slain because they still walk contrary to God. You see, that were added number. That wasn't in that number. That was an additional amount of people. Isn't that crazy? You're going through this and you're going, wow, what does it take? Well, let me tell you, you ever wondered about people? You ever asked that? What is it going to take? What is it going to take? You can see God's saying, this is not good. This is not good. And you witness it and they continue to walk opposite of God. And so that's what happened. Let me tell you why it was so harsh. Okay, because a lot of times we could, it's like there was no, you got one chance here. Let me tell you why. That's the kind of stuff that will infect the whole camp. That right there. And all it takes is one small little disgruntled, and words, and it'll flow and hit the ears of everybody. Before you know it, you'll start, you yourself, who you might claim to say, you know, I'm doing what God wants me to do, you'll start questioning whether or not this is the way it should be. And the moment you question it, you just right there, then and there, Holy Spirit's going out the door. You're not being led by God no more. The moment you question it, listen, last week, the spies went in. How many spies? 12. 10 come back with a negative report. The one got scared. The other one heard, the next one heard, the next one heard, and before you know it, 10 of them just completely submitted to fear. But Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. The spirit was different. And that's what saved them. They saw the same thing, seen the giants. Because let me understand, you know, we don't realize, because we don't want to tell that story because it's a hard story. Giants? Yeah, they saw the giants. They saw the huge stature, and they saw that the land was great land. But, what are we, a small people, to such a great, mighty force? Who are we? There's no way. We're dead. They're going to consume us. It'll just devour us up. But Joshua and Caleb said something different. See, just because the majority... And it's contagious. I'm going to tell you, God has to deal with it very fast because it's so contagious. If he wouldn't have dealt with Korah, the entire camp would have been infected. That's the kind of thing that we have to be careful with. Let me tell you, he compares the same thing that happened in Korah. He compares it all the way down the line. And we hear it all the way in Jude. And it's still comparing it. And it's still today. Still today. And that's why you serve the Lord. Build a relationship with the Father. Don't build a relationship to the church or the people. Even though we're here for one another, and we're here to do and help one another. But ultimately, if everybody else walks out, you got to serve God. You got to live for the Lord. These are important principles. So hopefully you've seen that as these things were going, we were going through this. You could see it all throughout the portion. And I hope that this, ministered to you. Then we get to Samuel, and Samuel served from a kid, remember? Eli had him there, and Hannah, she prayed for a son. And as we were going through that, I was reminded, all this stuff, the Lord just, you start she just brings it all back to you. Remember, she prays, the Lord grants a petition, and she gives him to the Lord, and Eli's there, and then all of a sudden, the voice comes, and Samuel, Samuel. So that's what the reference is. From my youth, he says, I serve the Lord, but my time's come. My time has come, and you want yourself a king. Well, you got you one. Again, questioning God's way. What was God's way? God says, I'm your king. I'll be your king. I'm your father, your king. I'll be everything to you. That's what I want to be, everything. Questioning God's way. Okay, that's what you want. I'm going to give you what you want, but you're going to have to pay the price. The price is going to be paid. And what happened? They were turned over to the Philistines, and they were abused. They were taken advantage of. The Ark of the Covenant was taken. Did you see? Can you imagine? What did the Ark represent? The very presence of God. Who here would want to trade the presence of God? I mean, that's absolutely crazy. I can't even talk about it without being emotional. Because what are you going to trade it off for? What are you going to get? Nobody can do you like the Lord. Nobody scoots next to you when everybody else is sleeping. And the darkness comes and you can't chase it away. It's coming. Darkness comes. Nobody scoots next to you like he does. Why would you want to trade that? Oh, we want a king. We want a king. But I'm your king. We want a king. You want a king? I'm going to give you a king. You see? Same thing. Questioning God's way. The way he lays it out is the perfect way. That's what we're going through Torah for. We finally starting to figure out God's way. He didn't want us in the pagan system. That wasn't his way. And it's not like anybody here maliciously went opposite of that. But that's the subtlety and the cunning craftiness of the enemy. How he'll just soak himself right in the church. He'll plant himself and be a tare among the wheat and you won't even know it. And we pay homage to the tare. I mean, we were going all out. We spent thousands of dollars in our lifetime to the tear. Not giving no credit to the wheat. When that's what counts. The wheat's counting, the tear's going to be uprooted and be burned in the fire. How many think you ought to be so grateful, all of us tonight. We ought to be so thankful that God saw to have mercy on us. And open our eyes to understand that that's not the way. And you know what? You go a different route. You go to Torah. You humble yourself to Torah. You humble yourself to the Word. What people do, they call you out. Why y'all doing that? That's silly. Well, go on and call you. Say whatever you want. But I ain't never felt more closer to the Most High. And when he talked about, did y'all get that part? The glory. The glory, when it talks about the glory, when you look into my glory, I'm telling you, there ain't no going back. And how many remember this journey? It was just a dream. And then it started with a prophetic word. And God says, you just do what I ask you to do. If you look into my glory, it's going to change you. There ain't no going back. And that's where it all started. You see, don't trade off the plan and purpose of God. What's the glory? It's the plan and purpose of God. It's nothing like it. Nobody can write God's story. His glory is underived. You can't write his story. Who anointed God? You see? This is so amazing. There's not enough time to go through this. Well, eventually they get what they want. They pay a price. Korah got what he wanted. He got his little 15 minutes of fame. Got what he wanted. Had a little following. You know what the sad thing? Everybody pays. Even the little ones pay. But there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. That's why it was so severe. Better that a millstone be tied about your neck and cast it to the sea. There's a price to be paid. I don't know what type of fear is going to be experienced to come on the people who are alive and separated from God are the ones that he brings in the second resurrection, that go into the final judgment, the white, great white throne judgment. I don't know, but I can only imagine, with my limited capacity, that the fear that's going to come upon men when they stand before God is going to be nothing that we can even describe in words. But it's going to be something that they feel, and they're going to feel it, and it's going to be really, really bad. Because just opening up and going into the grave is one thing. That you experience in that whole, but it's only seconds. Then it's done. Close is done. The people who witness it, they'll experience it for as long as they want to put, say, you know what, this is something God's, but that's the only a quick thing. There's going to be a time that Korah is going to go before the Most High. Ain't nobody in this room ever wants to go in that position and have to face a God that lays it out to you and shows you what you missed. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if he'd have just said, you know what? I just thank you, Lord, that I'm in my spot doing what you called me to do. I thank you. But, you know, I like when Samuel laid out his case. I didn't take anything from nobody. I didn't defraud nobody. If I did, I would pay it. Let's pay it off right now. You know, he went right over it because he wanted them to know how what God was going to do is give them what they wanted, but it wouldn't last long. It wasn't going to last. And they knew it. And in this, you can read the stories they go on. In Luke, we see the blind beggar, Zacchaeus, and then the parable of the 10 minas. I tell you, this Luke alone, there's so many wonderful aspects of understanding the kingdom of God and the significance of the kingdom of God and how God responds. He responds to those whose heart desires him. Does it mean the life is perfect? Well, we know in Zacchaeus' life, everybody knew that he was kind of his character was needing some help. But his heart was to seek God, no matter what people thought. You see, no matter what people thought, his heart was to go after God. And he knew that there was going to be someone who would come who can give him that opportunity. And that was Yeshua HaMashiach, the only way to the Father. And so that these are important principles, and you can go through them. And of course, we can talk about the minus and the talents that were given. But we'll wrap it up tonight. I want you to remember the Jude account. Now, the Jude account, you talk about serious, deep, deep stuff in that Jude account. Because it talks about the angels that fell. It says they didn't keep the first estate. The first estate is the what? God's plan and purpose for them. But they went contrary to God's plan and purpose. So can angels fall? Well, sure they can. So what was this first estate? The estate that it was, he created them to be angelic, to have power, to have authority, to be in the rakia, to have that first estate. So they had access to the heavens, the rakia, and the dome, all of that. They had access to all of that. They didn't want that. We want to be down there. See? Again, same thing. Instead of taking what is given to them, we want something different. So it says in Jude that they didn't keep it. So when he's talking about that, that's what he's mentioning, or that's what he's referring to, that they didn't keep that. So what he has to do, he keeps them what is called the abyss. We would make reference to the abyss or to Taurus. To Taurus, it's not that. That's different from the grave. That's different from Sheol. That's completely different. This is a deeper depth. So they're in everlasting chains until a time that they're going to be held accountable for what they did. And what did they do? Well, Genesis 6 tells us what they did. They took the daughters of men, whomever they wanted, and they went into the daughters of men. So they had to change from this estate, this type of being, to a different being. And then they took the daughters of men and they bore children. And those are the ones who became the mighty ones, the giants. And so, again, that's you talk about a lot of stuff to go over. It's a lot. But we've done some teachings on this. You could go back and look at them. But I hope this has shown you the same thing throughout the portion is, why don't we just humble ourselves to the plan of Yahweh? He knows better for me. You know, sometimes people just won't stop. They're looking, always looking for something. They'll go here, they'll go there, they'll go somewhere else. They wind up back because they won't submit to the plan of Yahweh. I want to go into ministry. I know the Lord's called me. And you have this genuine sense that He has. You look at their license and God's called them. Then all of a sudden the ministry gets tough. Then they want to bail out. Well, what point did you believe God changed His mind? Who in here wants to take that position? Yep, God changed His mind. No, it's not God changing His mind. It's you and I changing our mind. We can't get our mind made up. And so God's constant. God's constant. He's not up and down, wishy-washy, can't make His mind up. He just sets the thing in motion. He's constant. But people, when we face with circumstance, we face with a situation, face with a trial, a difficulty, the easiest thing, change our mind. Go do something different instead of going through it. Be faithful to it. That's when you're the real you. Listen, if nothing ever goes wrong in your life and everything goes right, you wouldn't know if you'd be faithful to it or not. Sure, you don't think I want to stay where everything's perfect? Everything's going right? I ain't got no problems? You better believe it. I want to camp right there. You ain't got to worry about me going nowhere because that's constant. But the moment stuff goes bad, the moment stuff don't go my way, well, what are you going to do then? I'm not bailing. I'm going to stick it out. You know why? Because I know one thing. If I was started out with Yahweh, if I started out with being led by Him, He's still with me. In the difficulty, He's still with me. He's still saying, keep going, because in this process is where you're going to get better. Remember Brother Troy, what he talked about? That was the process everybody had to go through. But you also can get bitter. And you get mad. Guess who you get mad at first? Not people. You might blame people. You know who you mad at? You mad at God. Because you don't like where you at. And I'm going to be like Korah. Why ain't the leader? It's a good tour portion. It really is. And I'm glad I'm doing it. It doesn't make sense. It does. Well, I want to be king. Every one of them fit. You know what Sammy says? Well, go on. I'm out of here. Bye. I don't owe you a donkey. I don't owe you nothing. God has a sense of humor. He does. He says, I owe you nothing. And if you think I do, let's settle it right now. Because I ain't staying with y'all. Because y'all in trouble. Can you imagine a Philistine army come out and curse Yahweh and they're all trembling because they didn't submit it to we want a king when they had the King of Kings. We know we got you, but we don't get you. We want somebody like us. All right? Pick one. We want him. He's a big guy. Yeah, okay. All right. He's big. They got other bigger guys out there that you're going to face. And I was going to give you all the information you needed just to wipe them all out. But that's okay. Take your big guy. Guess where the big guy was that they picked? We ain't fighting him. We ain't going to fight him. But God says, Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him? Fill your horn with oil and go down to Jesse's house and anoint me another king. Because this is where I come back in, and I'm going to put in motion those in authority. Remember, we just read it. I'm going to put them there. I'm going to raise them up, and I'm going to give them authority. Then they'll submit to that. Then what did he do? What's the first thing he did? He went down to the Philistines, and he got the ark. He didn't do it the first time without an error. That really shows you the humanity needs help throughout every step of the way. We need help. He got a new cart, got that baby tricked out. Might have had some 20s on that thing. LEDs. He goes down there, puts that ark in there, but he don't take into account that God doesn't change. To move it, you got to get the Levites. And they got to put the rod through the golden rings, and they got to bear it on their shoulder. He forgot that part. But there's a cost, you see. Because a man reach out and touch and he dies. That's a father. That's a brother. You understand, that's a husband. It affects people. We have in the residual effects of what people do in their life affecting their families for generation after generation. Because we won't do it the way God said to do it. Oh, God, I'm sorry. That was wrong. He lines them back up. I don't want all the Levites. Let's go. Bring all those animals. Let's go. And there was a bloodbath from where they picked the ark up in the Philistine camp. And they sacrificed an animal every so many steps, trying to get that covenant right till they got back and brought the covenant. See, so this is how God works it out. And so you can go on and on. There's no stop. I can tell you. You just listen to it, and all of a sudden the Lord reminds you of all the messages, all the things that you ever went through. You get reminded of them. And so I can go on and on and on tonight. But I hope that you see the point, the main point of this. Don't complain about where you are and what's going on in your life. Give thanks in everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. That is not easy. What's the first thing we want to do when stuff goes wrong? It's natural. You don't have to be taught that. That's the stuff that gets handed down through the garden sin. You don't have to be taught how to do that. But in everything, Father, I just want to thank you for everything. Even the stuff I don't like. The stuff that I'd rather somebody else do, I thank you for it. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If I had to choose what I was doing, I wouldn't have chose to be the pastor. I can tell you that. I would have chose to be a fisherman. First class fisherman. That would have been my choice. So don't complain about what God's got you doing. It is what it is. He knows me better than I know me. And I'm always asking him for strength, healing, victory. And what am I going to do? Complain to him because I don't like my life? I don't like some of the situations I get in, the difficulties? You just do what God asks you to do. And when it's hard, when you can't do nothing else, when you've done all you can to stand, You know what he says? Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And then the rest goes into play. So listen, you're going to get to those days when you can't go no more. I can't go no more. That's okay. And you need to say that. Lord, I can't go no more. He goes, yes. I got you right where I want you. This is exactly where I want you to be. Where you can't go no more. Now just put your hands back. You know that game? You know, some of them, they video these kids and they show them the fall back and they catch them. Some of them fall forward. There ain't nobody there. You just seen somebody funny. You know, somebody need to tell them kids, okay, the game goes like this. You know, they get up and they got a bruise on their forehead. And I think that's what people do. You know, if you want comfort, relax in him. Fall in his arms. But if you want to go your way, don't forget. That floor is hard. It's hard. You're going to come out with hickeys and bumps and bruises and scrapes. How many remember when you come back, you was all scraped up? You know what's so good about God? He says, sit down right there. He takes the time to put a bandage and ointment on each one. That's love. He don't say, go on in. Take care. That's love. That's the love of God. Let me tell you, that to me, I just don't understand for the life of me sometimes why people can't fall in love with God. He's so amazing. In spite of what we do, he loves us. He cares about us. So, wow. Take this Torah and just devour it. Consume it in. And say, Lord, I never want to do what they did. I don't want to assume to know more than you. Ever. Don't ever assume to know more than God. Never do that. Never get in that spot. That's a bad, bad spot to be a know-it-all. Humble yourself. You know what I want to start seeing myself do? Exactly what Moses did. I want to get, hey, let people talk. Let them say their say. That's what he did. He humbled himself. That's fine. If you feel that way, I can't. But we're going to let God sort this out. That's the best position. Amen? Aren't you glad you was in Torah portion tonight? Glory to God. Well, we got a big day tomorrow. And so those that are going to Indiana, 4 o'clock here at the church. So get here so we can get everything loaded up. We're going to get most of everything done tonight. And then in the morning, we'll get the cold stuff and put it in. Well, we got a long trip to get started with. Want to say we love everybody and thank you for being patient and understanding the Torah portions. I tell you, sometimes it's, you want to stay home and rest and relax, and especially if you worked on Saturday. But I'm thinking about the thing all day long. You're just thinking about it. I got Torah tonight. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. It's unending. Put yourself out there, and God will bring the verses of Scripture to your remembrance. I'm telling you, just be. So let's not forget, next Torah portion will be done independent. If you're with a group of people that you can have Torah portion with, do it. But if not, please do your portion. You can get it on your audio download. You can get a copy and bring it with you. But those that are going to be not going to Indiana, we also want you to do the Torah portion so that's covered. Because we're not going to have a setting like this where we actually cover that issue. That issue that's out coming this next Saturday is going to be done independent of the group. Okay? So don't forget, get you one before you leave. That way you'll be ready. You can also get it on your phone. Smart devices will pull it up on 119. You can pull up those portions. So we only have a couple more left, a few more left, and we completed a cycle. We started 44, right? Was it 44? So we'll complete our cycle, and we'll keep going. It's no end. It's not, finished, good. You just, can you imagine starting on 44? Who remembers 44? Give me one verse out of 44. You see? Got to keep going. That's a difficult question right there. Don't ask me, because I don't know either. So that's why we do again and again. So God bless you. I love you. We'll see you next, not this next Thursday, but the following Thursday, right? No, Sunday. What am I talking about? I'm missing it. I'm missing a whole service here. All right. Well, God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed.